I had the unfortunate experience of backing into careful academic theology from philosophy. And because of that, part of my early training in understanding who God was to kind of think of God as a cold person and as a distant person. And what I find fascinating, the more that I read good theology, is that that is not actually who God is at all. That our God is the God who created us to be a happy people, a happy God. And so let's take a look at Psalm 149. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 4. Psalm 149, verses 1 to 4. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Now I want you to notice the argument of the psalmist in our passage. Because tonight what we're going to be thinking about is what is it that motivates God's people to praise the Lord, to sing to the Lord a new song, to praise him in the assembly of the godly, to let Israel be glad in his maker, let the children of Zion rejoice in their king, let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. What is the ground for this? What is the reason for this? Is it because God is angry? Because God is spiteful? Because God is just? What is the cause of this unbound joy? What is the pleasure that leads God's people to dance and to sing to him with tambourine and lyre? And in verse 4, it is, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. God delights in his people. The joy of the Lord is our strength because the Lord takes pleasure in his people. I want you to know that many times I struggle because I feel like I'm stupid and inadequate and that God is angry at me. And part of the reason and that I feel that God is angry at me is because I don't feel like I'm having success in what I'm doing. And it feels like God is angry. And yet what this passage said is that the Lord takes pleasure in his people. God took pleasure in Paul as he knelt before a pillar to be executed by the Romans. The Lord took pleasure in Samuel Rutherford when he breathed out, "Glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land," and then he died. God rejoiced when you said your first prayer to him for salvation. God rejoiced when that happened. And God joys at the thought of your last prayer before death, and the God of the universe anticipates your coming to heaven because the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Our God is not the God of philosophy. He is not a cold and distant God. Now we can add other wonderful and tender notes from God on this issue. Psalm 35:27. Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Did you hear that? Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Our happy God is delighted when things are going well for us. Psalm 147:11. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Isaiah 62:4. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, "My delight is in her," and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. Did you hear that? When you become a Christian, your name is no longer desolate. Your name is, "My delight is in her." For the Lord delights in you and your land is married. Jeremiah 32:14. I will rejoice in doing them good. And I will plant them in this land in faithfulness and with all my heart and all my soul. God delights in doing good for his people. God delights in us. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. Our God is happy with us. He is not mad. He is not burning in indignation. He is not poised to destroy us. He is a happy God. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. Now, it is certainly true that God disciplines us for our sin. And we must understand, that when God declares us his friends, we are the friends of God, and the discipline of God is a secondary note. Can you imagine if a child thought to themselves, wow, my dad, amazing spanker. Wow, that guy, the discipline of my mom, amazing. She could ground me faster than you. This is not the note of our relationship with God, that he disciplines us. The main note of our relationship with God is that he delights in us and that he takes pleasure in us. This is so much so that God says this about our sins in Isaiah 38:17. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. Micah 7:19. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. So that when God thinks about us, the thing that delights God is not the fact that he had to discipline us for our sin, but rather that God loves us so much that he can forget our sin. And that he can take pleasure in us. Now, sin was added to the universe by us. We joined with Satan, and we're the ones who changed our nature. And so sin is not intrinsic to the universe that God created, but rather it is a perversion of something good. And what this means is then that God did not create the universe to get himself angry. That was not at all the purpose of the universe, but rather God created the universe so that his creatures might experience his happiness in his glory. The Lord created this universe for laughter and for singing and for joy and for dancing and beauty, and we're the ones who added the gross parts. Or God changed the universe so that there would be some sort of commonality between the grossness inside of our hearts and the physical universe. But this is not the permanent world. So God's anger at sin is not something that is intrinsic to the universe in the way that God created it. Our God dwells in blessedness. And he created us to experience the glorious love and the pleasure of the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that if you've repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ, the God of the universe is happy with you. He has forgiven us. He loves us. He is actively working to do good for us, and he has promised that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, the reason that we lose the joy of our salvation is in part because we forget who we are in Christ. And friends, the greatest joy that we have, the thing that should motivate us to dance before God, is that God takes pleasure in us. This is why God, speaking to Abraham, says, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. What is the best thing that God could give us? What is the thing that God would give us, could give us, that would eternally satisfy us and will delight us forever? It is God. And so God gives us himself because God is happy, and it's a good thing that he gives himself to us. So that when God thought about the fall of man and his rebellion against the glories of God, God delighted in himself and loving sinners and in transforming them into holy people who love and follow him. Now, why does God take pleasure in us? There's a lovely old theological word called God's complacency. Now, in modern English, complacency means smugness when applied to humans, but in the older theology, it has this idea of God's benevolence springing from his self-satisfaction. God is so delighted with himself that he wants to share himself with others. And so God says things like this in Isaiah 48:9. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. God saves us because he delights in his praise. God takes pleasure in his people because God enjoys loving us. And before there was time in the sovereign delights of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he decided to delight in his people. And so the authors of the Bible write things like this. This is in 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Why did God save us? Because it pleases him. The psalmist writes in Psalm 79:9, help us, O God, for our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. Now, we are the people who argue with God, not for our merits, but rather that God delights in glorifying himself in saving sinners. Now, God is not merely benevolent. He is also holy and just and righteous. And so God decided on how it was that mercy and justice were going to agree. The penalty must be paid. The legal grounds must be met to save sinners. And so the Son of God would become an incarnate man, and he would create a shareable righteousness, and he would die on the cross for our sins. And this is what we read about that. Jesus Christ marched to the cross because he was so angry. No? Jesus Christ marched to the cross because he was just so wrathful about sin. No. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Jesus Christ go to the cross? Not so that he could be angry, but rather so that he could establish an eternal joy for himself as a man and for his people. Jesus died for the sake of joy. Now, it is here that God begins to make corrupt and sinful people lovable. Listen to Paul calling on his own efforts to please God. Listen to what he says about his great heritage as a son of Abraham and Benjamin in Philippians 3:8-9. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For it is his sake that I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Now I want you to know that rubbish is not the right word. It means manure. Do you remember that illustration that I began with, that our sin is gross, right? That's our sin. That's what this word rubbish means. The Apostle Paul counts every wonderful thing that he has from his past life as scuba loner, as manure, as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So God finds pleasure in us, because we look back at everything that we have from our nature, from just the way things work out, and we say it's garbage. And the thing that we want is Christ and his righteousness. We are the people who wear the righteousness of Christ. Now, I hope some of you are old enough, but you may experience this, where you have your kids and they put on some article of your clothing. And they're dressing up like you, or maybe this is a cousin. And so when my kids come downstairs and they're wearing an Iowa Hawkeye shirt, it makes me feel good. They're not wearing an Ohio State shirt. They shouldn't be doing something like that. Right? They're not wearing a Clemson shirt. They're wearing an Iowa Hawkeye shirt. Why? See, they're wearing me. They're wearing my past experiences. They're putting on their love for me. And when God looks down on us and we are wearing the righteousness of Christ, God is delighted because we are wearing his righteousness. We are uniting ourselves to him. And this heartwarming feeling that we have when children emulate us is how God feels when he sees us. When we put on the righteousness of the Son by faith, he is pleased. And he looks upon us in the righteousness as something that we need to grow into. Moms, do you remember when your daughter wore your high heels? She keeps growing into those, right? We're the people who are growing into the righteousness of Christ, and it pleases God. And God is happy with us when we wear the righteousness of Christ. Now, he is also pleased because the righteousness of Christ combined with the activity of the Spirit of God then allows us to do things that please God. Romans 8:8-9. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And Christian, if you are here today and you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, which is the definition of a Christian, your actions, or at least some of your actions, please God. You make God happy with your actions. You please God. And God is pleased not because you're great, but because he is a happy God. God is pleased with us because he joys in benevolence. God is happy with us because we wear the righteousness of the Son. And I want you to know that God is satisfied with us as a group. Now, do you remember what I read in 1 Samuel 12:22? It has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. God is delighted with his church as a group of people. And I'm not going to flog all the intricacies of the theological language, but this group of people is the church or the elect, and God often speaks of his love for them and his pleasure with them as a people. And thus the elders of the church are warned in Acts 20:28, pay your careful attention to yourself and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Why? To care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. The Lord was so pleased with his church that he not only planned to save them, but he sent his Son to pay for their sins with his own blood. And we know that we are precious in the sight of God because he values us as worthy of the Son's blood. God is pleased with you because God paid for you. And he paid for you with the blood of his Son. And God wants us to think of ourselves as pleasing him, not only because he is benevolent, but because he delights with us as a group of people. We are the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Now, before there was an earth, the Lamb's Book of Life was written. And we can imagine God placing his hand on this book and smiling. These are his people. They are known to him. These people are moving through history for the purpose of coming before him to worship and glorify and honor him. And God delights in that fact. There is rejoicing in heaven when someone is saved. And so John, caught up into the future heaven, tells us this in Revelation 7:9-10. And behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And there will be people from Malaysia and from China and Bhutan, and God will be delighted with all of them, and he is delighted with us because God delights in gathering his people to himself. And he thinks of us as a great multitude that he loves and delights in. Yet we must also remember that God, in his utter magnificence and brilliance, is pleased with each one of us individually. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. And now the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, did you notice that we have now moved from God's delight to us as individuals to God's love and delight and joy in with us as individuals? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And in saying that, we're not saying that he didn't love other people. But we are saying that he loved me. I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, our Lord Jesus knew for whom he was dying. He in his divine person, he thought of each one of us individually as he went to the cross. And so each and every Christian can say, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Jesus gave himself for us not because he was angry, but because of the joy that was set before him. But we are to be aware of God's pleasure not only in a theological truth, but as an experience. Psalm 116, verses 1 to 2. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. I love the Lord not only because he loved me, but because God has heard my voice. He has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. God hears our voice because he delights in the call of his people. He answers our prayers. I prayed to God and he made me a pastor. I prayed to God that he would bring me to Andover and he did. I prayed to God that I would not fall into sin and have to resign, and it hasn't happened. Because God loves me. I also prayed that I'd marry another girl besides Kimberly, and he said no. Praise God! Because sometimes God says no. Sometimes it's difficult to remember that when God says no, that he's doing our good. It's only from looking back that we know these things. Now, why do we pray? Because God loves us. But he also loves everyone who has repented of his or her sins and trusted in Jesus Christ. And he shows us his love by giving us good gifts. The Lord individualizes his pleasures in his people in the events of providence. God sends you personal love notes telling you that he delights in you. Store those love notes up. Treasure them in your heart. Remember them. Remember the answers to prayer. These are evidence that God loves you. But he also tells us this in Revelation 2:17. So God shows us his delight in us in providence. And this is in Revelation 2:17. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except for the one who receives it. Now, because our God is infinite, he is pleased with us as individuals, and he expresses his delight with us by answering our prayers, yes, no, and not yet. But the promises of God also includes a personal intimacy between us and God, so that our friendship with God includes the delight of wholesome secrets. You know that Kimberly and I have secrets, right? We have wonderful private joys that we don't tell you about. And if you're here tonight, you have a wonderful private joy with God. I will give him a white stone with a new name written on that stone, and no one knows it except for the one who receives it. There are two people who know what is on that stone, and it is the God who loves you and who delights in you, and you, the Christian. God delights in us. He shares secrets with us. The infinite God condescends to give every believer a name just between him and you, that he loves you. Now, when we think of God's delight in us, we must certainly remember that God has beautified us in Christ. Yet I want you to know that in wearing this alien righteousness of Christ and in being beautified by Christ, that there is an individual beauty in this. So that John, transformed by Christ, has a dignity different than Ken, indwelt by the Spirit of God. Every bride is beautiful, but there are tall brides and short brides and average brides. And each glows with the light of Christ, but the light of Christ shining through each and every one of them is different. A stained glass window is just dark glass until what? Until the sun shines through it. And then the glory of a stained glass window comes because of the activity of the sun through the window. Where does the glory of the Christian come from? the activity of the Son of God in their life, illuminating and shining through them and giving them that individual glory and that individual beauty. And why does God do this? Because God delights in us corporately and individually. My Christian friends, God is delighted to see you follow Christ. God rejoices to see you following Him, and God is pleased with us. God loves me. Jesus loves me, and He loves me not because He hates me, not because He's angry at me, but because He delights in me and He takes pleasure in His people. We have a happy God. Not a frivolous God, not a giddy God, a joyful and happy God. Praise the Lord. Sing the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with the tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Please bow your heads with me and pray. Our God, we come before you. Lord, we ask that we would experience the joy of our salvation by recognizing that you take pleasure in us, that you are pleased with us, that we are wearing the righteousness of Christ, that you delight in us in our attempts to obey you, that you have loved us before the creation of the world, that you are making us more lovable, and Lord, that you delight in our coming to heaven. Help us, Lord, to remember that you are a happy God. Help us to worship you and live for you in that way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.